Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. And with me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am great. Springtime in the Rockies.
Well, at least for a couple days.
18 days.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long it stays spring. It is March, and it is Colorado, and we tend to get a lot of snow.
That means it's going to snow,
yeah. It melts fast.
But it is really nice today, nice enough that, dare I say, you can go pants-free if you want. Just saying. Okay, today, the topics that I wanted to hit, I thought we could start first with Apple opening up or about to open new offices in San Francisco. And when I say new offices, they're so new. This is the first time Apple has ever opened offices in San Francisco.
So to be clear, what we're doing is expanding Apple. This isn't like we've taken a division of something happening in Cupertino and scooped it up and put it into San Francisco. This is just more office space for Apple.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and Apple's not saying exactly who they will be housing in this new space, which can hold up to 500 people.
I can tell you what I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's for the rank-and-file workers. I think it's going to be too ritzy, and I think it's going to be for some senior people who don't want to ride the bus anymore.
Oh, and I don't know if I'd go that far.
I think when you rent expensive space like this in San Francisco, it's going to be for some very high level people who just want to be able to, you know, ride their bike to work and not have to travel so much.
Now,
I doubt whether there'll be some like engineering team to develop, you know, some technology install or something.
I think you are partially right. I think that in addition to high-ranking people that live in San Francisco and don't want to commute to Cupertino, it's also going to include key people in certain projects that Apple wants to make sure that they keep on staff, and they happen to live in San Francisco. Now they won't have to commute.
Maybe some marketing and production people there, too, to get a better liaison to the television stations and media. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, see, maybe. My first thought when I heard that this was happening and that it was expansion, that was the first thing I was curious about, was are they moving existing stuff to San Francisco, or is this actually going to be new space for more Apple employees, and it's new space for more? And then my second thought was, oh, this must be for the car people, just to make sure that the people they're hiring away from other electric car initiatives are saved the commute. Because if you live in San Francisco and you have to commute out to your job every day there and back, it sucks because traffic is crazy in San Francisco. And so, like John had mentioned, people riding their bikes and things, I think there's probably some sort of something that's going to happen there. And I do think there's probably a certain percentage of that space that's going to be maybe for customer-facing, outward-facing sorts of things. Like if they have to have a meeting about something, or, you know, Tim Cook sits down to do an interview with a station or something like that. It may not take place in his office anymore. It'll take place here. So that it's more convenient, and that maybe press PR sorts of things could also happen here. Like if there's a conference room or a nice meeting area where people could set that up.
Speaking of conference rooms, Apple is famous for its executive briefing centers. They have them in New York and other key locations around the country. And there's enough space here, 76,000 square feet, that they may well have one of their famous executive briefing centers. And if you don't know about those, it's a really high-tech room with beautiful tables and projection equipment and staff engineers who give briefings to selected customers. And it's easier to get them into the San Francisco office. They've been doing that in New York for years.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting about this was, I know I have been to the mothership. I think all of us have. And I went about 4 years ago, and when I was there, it sort of seemed like almost all of the buildings that I drove by once I had seen the sign that said, "Welcome to Cupertino," all of them said Apple on them. And mm-hmm. that was sort of my feeling at the time, was like, Apple basically rents all the office space in Cupertino. And it turns out that that's almost true.
Yeah. They have at least 70% of all the office space. And there's right now, there's essentially no available office space left in Cupertino to rent. The only way Apple could get more office space, and this is aside from what they're doing with the construction for the new spaceship campus. Mm-hmm.
This is probably part of why.
Companies need to leave Cupertino or go out of business. So I guess that's leaving Cupertino.
It's still leaving, yeah.
So that Apple could snap up their office space. Mm-hmm. And that's just not practical. So they need to find more places where they can have offices. So it kind of makes sense to set up some office space in San Francisco. And I know this goes against what Apple has always done, which is keep everything close together. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense to have some space in San Francisco for ease of access. And also because it makes puts Apple in a position where they can more easily compete with other technology companies that are hiring really talented people.
Mm-hmm. Within San Francisco proper.
Right. People that don't want to do a 2-hour commute right. to Cupertino.
And are in a position to bargain for that.
Yes.
Because nobody really wants to. I just had another idea. And what I'm wondering is, I know that you had mentioned, you know, keeping everyone together, but what if this is for like the music stuff? What if this is like Beats?
Well, the Beats offices are still
Beats
open.
Stuff and yeah, but this could be Apple's Beats stuff and music stuff and you know, whatever that kind of stuff is going to be. Like, I don't expect that Dre's going to hire 500 people, but or Jimmy Iovine for that matter, but. It might make sense since there's a lot of cool music happening in San Francisco. I don't know how many bands come, you know, straight out of Cupertino, but maybe
I see what you did there.
I'm glad, but maybe this has something to do with that as well, because you know, music execs are gonna maybe not want to huff out to the burbs, and maybe that's another interesting use for some of that, at least some of that space.
Sure. Now, Apple is not saying how they're going to use the space, which is no surprise. Apple doesn't tell us anything right. They don't have to. But it looks like it's going to be a pretty upscale facility. It's mm-hmm. in the South of Market neighborhood, which is pretty ritzy. Mm-hmm. And this is in the same building that CBS Interactive has office spaces. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so... I doubt that CBS's presence in the building is why Apple chose the location.
Maybe because of communication, fiber.
Oh, yeah, there's probably already fiber in the building because of CBS Interactive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I could see where that would play a role. I think the big thing for Apple, though, is that they were able to get the square space they needed in an area that they liked. And it's in a space where they can remodel it to suit their needs. Mm-hmm. So there they go. And so it looks like this is going to be a pretty fancy place. Go Apple.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, there's another topic I want to hit today.
Let's.
Okay. And this is Twitter, but this is also Apple. So the... The deal is that this morning, so Thursday morning, Apple started a new Twitter account called @AppleSupport. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a support account where you can tweet your issues to Apple, and they will give you tech support back through Twitter.
That's great.
Yeah, actually, it is great. I think this is really cool because it gives people easier access to Apple. I like the idea that Apple is creating new avenues of communication for customers. And I think it makes Apple more approachable for the average person. And they're being pretty responsive on the site. You know, people pose a question and Apple's coming back right away with answers and also tips.
I just saw a tweet from Dwight Silverman this morning who said that he'd had a question and hadn't received a response in 30 minutes. He wasn't complaining. He said, you know, just observing, just noting.
Well, one thing that I've
very popular and people are lining up.
Yeah, one thing that I noticed in looking at the stream, because when you if you go initially and look, like you might think that this is sort of a not very active account, because if you look when you load up the page, it will show you just tweets. And just tweets, there's like five. And then if you click on tweets and replies, you'll see that there's hundreds of them. Just
it kind of explodes on you.
Yeah. But it, to me, the really interesting thing is the brain power behind it, because they're basically answering all kinds of questions. Have you tried force quitting the app? That's not good if that's not your country code. Use the feedback assistant. We can look into USB issues for you. Here's the one that stood out to me was, here's a link to book an appointment online in Turkey. There's some interesting, to me, they all sound like solid replies, you know, because a lot of them are asking for more information. So I think that it's going to be super useful for people. And particularly one thing that I like about it is that you can kind of look through it and see answers and tips. And, you know, when people, when they do, you know, once this initial wave sort of subsides and you'll be able to see them saying, you know, please send us what, whatever version of this you're using so that we can help you get things going. You'll also see where they say things like, you know, if you restart your device, you know, by the light of the full moon, every, you know, your battery issue will be resolved or whatever. You can like file that away for later. So I'm excited about this account, not necessarily because I need it. It may make my life better if I know people on Twitter who don't necessarily have to ask me all of their questions anymore. But also because, I like the idea of being able to get the tips and tricks out of that feed, you know, at my leisure, being able to look through it and go, oh, I never thought about that being able to fix whatever the thing was. So
what I want to know is what took them so long.
That's a really good question.
Since 2006, and here we are in 2016.
Well, Apple's been very slow to get into the whole social network scene.
Now, one of the things that this may have to do with, well, I think there's probably two factors here. And the first is they hired the social media guy from Nike, whose name I'm not going to be able to remember.
That's all right.
And
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they hired him. And I think he probably had started the campaign for this. But Twitter has also made some fundamental changes lately to make it easier to give and to give customer support via Twitter. And so they've done some stuff on their end from an infrastructure level to maybe make this something a little bit better. So I think that it's probably a combination of those things that makes it that makes it possible now where maybe it wasn't before.
Are you talking about things like DMing?
Yeah, you don't have to be following to DM, but there was a couple of other... Now, of course, I don't remember what they were because it was about a week ago they put up the post about how it has changed. And I'm...
Just wait till Twitter is 14,000 characters instead of 140.
Mostly I'm impressed that they came out of the gate with the blue check, because I've been on Twitter for 9 years and nobody will verify me. So, 9.5, actually. So anyway.
Yeah, that's right. They came right out with a verified account. I don't have a verified account either.
Yeah, we know you're you.
Yeah, but it would be nice to get some validation now, wouldn't it?
I know. Really, it's just that I crave the validation.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. And John, I'm with you. Why did it take so long? Well, and yes, I know there are some infrastructure issues, but I think what it really comes down to is that Apple was just too closed off for quite a while to be able to accept services like Twitter as a viable communication platform.
Well, I think it's also part of the growth and complexity of Apple. There was a time when Apple was focused primarily on Macintoshes and iPods, and things were pretty much working as expected, and things just worked. And now Apple's a vast corporation with lots of products and many more millions of users, hundreds of millions of users, 800 million credit card accounts. And so Apple has found, I think, it's natural for them to find new ways to reach out and help their customers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's going to be a great resource for people. Maybe I'm overly excited about it. And actually, I think I am. And I believe the reason that I am is because I'm not looking at this as, hey, finally I can get some support from Apple. But I see it as another example of how Apple is making itself more accessible, making itself more open to users, and I like this. This is a good trend for Apple.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice more approachable. See. More approachable, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree. Totally important. Yeah. Hey, I think that's about all we have for today.
All right.
All right. Very good.
Well, thanks for being here, Kelly.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always great to have you. John, it's always awesome to have you here today.
Why, thank you. It was a pleasure.
I just realized what I said. It's always awesome to have you here today. It's always just awesome to have you
because
here.
Because when we record, it's always today.
It is always today. That's true. Good point. All right. I'll work on my sentence structure, people. I promise. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And hey, if you want to give us some support and some love, you can actually buy your Amazon stuff through our special affiliate link. And so all you need to do is head over to our website, which is macobserver.com. And we have a special support TMO section that you can hit up. And actually, just go to macobserver.com/TMO/support TMO. And you're going to find Amazon there. You're going to find Mac Mall. You're going to find the Apple Store. So when you need to buy your stuff, make your purchases. You don't pay anything extra. But we're going to get a little kickback from all these different companies for sending them your way. And all that money goes back to help support the podcasts we do, the articles we write, the infrastructure we need to keep all of this running so that you are up to date on the latest Apple news. So go buy some stuff. Be an awesome consumer and help us out in the process. You guys all rock. All right. We will see everyone again tomorrow.